Hi, everybody. This is your host, JBW Galindo, and welcome to Beyond Pickles and Donuts, a show dedicated to exploring and honoring creative approaches to life. Today's guest on Beyond Pickles and Donuts is my good friend, Marcia Estreja. She's a senior associate for IE Communications, and they are a policy advocacy and media consulting firm for foundations and nonprofits, fighting the good fight to help gain PR for worthy causes and organizations. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Cool. Before that, she was the one-person community relations department for Craigslist, working to strengthen online communities and support the work of nonprofits. I see a theme.
Yes.
Yeah. Oddly enough, her college career was not mainly focused in studies of social awareness, social justice, public relations, or marketing. Rather, it was in the exciting, enthralling world of accounting.
Yes. Numbers rule.
Yeah, yes. That's what I said when I was an engineer, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's this creative career change that I'd like to focus our interview today. So, hey, how you doing?
Good, yeah? Good. Yeah, I'm drinking my latte and trying to get some energy, so hopefully I'll make this an interesting interview for
you.
Hey,
it'll be interesting either way. Thanks again for letting us honor your story today.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I think there are a lot of people out there that are always thinking about or dreaming about making creative career changes or just making some sort of creative change in their life. And I really think that a story like yours, switching from two different fields, would be something that people would be interested in hearing about, maybe getting a lot of inspiration from to do their own career changes in their own lives. So you had a college career that was focused in accounting and numbers, but even before that, you know, I knew you mostly as a musician, as a creative type, and I never saw you as an accountant. That was never something I envisioned you as being.
Uh-huh.
So I was just wondering, how did you get interested in doing that? How did you decide to even just study that in the first place in college?
It was a bit of a compromise, honestly. Back in high school, I loved music, band, and I loved math. Math was definitely one of my best subjects. So, when I was trying to figure out how I could blend the two things that I loved the most, music and math, originally I was thinking music business.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was seeing commercials for like the Art Institute of Seattle.
Yeah. You know,
it looked more like production work. But I knew my parents wouldn't be into investing in some sort of private arts college.
Yeah.
And so I was looking into the UC system, and Santa Barbara, where I went to school, had a business economics with accounting emphasis. So I figured the way I could get into music business is to start off with accounting as like the basic skill, and from there sort of get in and finally somehow get to the production side. But honestly, back then, I didn't really understand how complex the music business was, too. So it was just sort of like the teeny bopper dream. You know, I was a big New Kids fan. Mm-hmm. And just wanting to learn more about the music business and somehow thinking that accounting would be a good way to start.
So, but after you graduated with your degree.
Right.
Did you immediately start applying to
music? Yeah. No. So the thing was, the program at UC Santa Barbara, if you do the accounting emphasis, they start connecting you to the big public accounting firms. And that was the thing about accounting, is then you get into this track of getting a CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got kind of swooped into that, and it seemed like a stable thing to do. And you know, to have that be my first career out of college, it just seemed like a very conservative, smart thing to do.
Mm.
So I went for it, and I got into one of the then big five firms. And honestly, right when I started training, I realized I'd made a big mistake. And I decided that I would just try and stick it out for at least a year, even though I, at that point, thought I did not want a CPA anymore. So I really just kind of, I felt like I had committed myself to it. You know, my parents paid for the degree, you know. So I thought I had to give it a chance. And so I gave myself this sort of goal of sticking it out for a year and sort of figuring out after that time if, you know, what to do next.
So did you, when you started working, was your goal always to, at the end, I'm going to find myself into a music career somehow with this experience?
No, you know, at some point I I gave up that dream.
Yeah.
I gave up the dream of music business, and I focused on the public accounting because, you know, that was what the curriculum was and sort of the way they were pushing us. And then when I got into it, and then that's when I realized that this really wasn't what I wanted. And so it was during the job, though, that I started finding the other sectors that were interesting to me, which was nonprofit work. Like, I was always most interested in our nonprofit clients, like the Goodwill Industries and Walden House in San Francisco. And another thing that always interested me is, and this might be a little too accounting speak, but on the balance sheet, there's something called intangible assets.
That's nice.
Intangible assets. So, so for me, that was my introduction into branding, which is actually what I really love. So it's that value that a brand, a company, or a person has that you know, it's more like the loyalty or the, you know, just like the promises that they have that people buy into. And it's not a product, you know, you can't touch it, but there's a value. So you have to put something on the balance sheet. So I was always curious about, like, how do you measure that? How do you say, like, we were just talking about Tiger Woods earlier.
Yeah.
And that's what's been in the media lately was, like, all his contracts and all the branding, you know, the brand of Tiger Woods, how much is that worth? So that's how I got into branding. So after my stint in public accounting, it was sort of figuring out how to meld nonprofit work and branding. And so that's pretty much how I got to where I am now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about, can you describe what felt like when you were struggling to decide whether or not to stay in accounting?
Yeah.
Versus leaving, and like what finally prompted you to get out?
To do it,
was
yeah.
Was it like an incident, or was it like just, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously it was a combination of factors. Mainly I was miserable. It was misery.
That's a similar story
yeah.
to a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, just having to drive everywhere,
yeah.
not feeling any real connection to my coworkers or the actual work. And another big thing, I suppose, was the movie Fight Club.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that came out right around when I decided to leave public accounting. And there, I might not quote it perfectly, but there's one line in the movie about, it isn't until you lose everything that you're free to do anything, right? So I felt like, because it felt like I was giving up on this thing that I had invested in for so long, education-wise, you know, giving up on that
yeah.
felt like I had lost everything. And having to tell that to my parents and, you know, the whole thing. So then at that point, I felt like I really had the freedom to try something new and do something different. So Fight Club, misery. And because my job allowed me to sort of explore other sectors, like
yeah.
I was saying, nonprofit work and branding, it just worked out that ended up being what I actually pursued next.
So, because anytime people make large changes like that, leaving
yeah.
a career behind, leaving a stable paycheck behind,
yeah.
there's all this fear about how am I going to survive or how am I going to be able to make it into a new field without prior, you know, background or prior education.
Yeah.
So how did you overcome that sort of fear? Or were you even afraid?
I was afraid, but I knew that I had to kind of start from the beginning again,
mm-hmm.
and I was willing to take that pay cut and invest in getting the skills that I really needed to move on to the next career that I wanted. So it was accepting that, you know, it was going to hurt for a while, but knowing that in the long term, it would help me get to where I wanted to be.
So were you able to easily find places where you could learn those skills? Or was that something that you had to, you know, find education on your own first before you applied to those positions? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, so my next job after public accounting was in the dot-com world,
mm-hmm.
and it was not marketing. It was customer service.
Okay.
And I just happened to get in at a time when the company was still small and young that it afforded me the opportunities to grow into other areas. And so that was one opening that they had was the PR marketing sort of duties, responsibilities. So So in a way, it was luck. You know, I got into the company in customer service, was only doing it for about maybe 6 months, and then the opportunity came for me to move into sort of another department.
But you knew when you first took that position that what your final goal was.
Yeah. So at the same time, while I was still trying to get used to the fact that I was trying a new career, that I was giving up public accounting, I had plans to, you know, maybe start looking into taking classes, you know, at like City College or any sort of, or join some professional organization. But then it ended up that the company that I was with gave me that opportunity to actually do the work already. So I got lucky, but I was starting to plan.
Well, you know, I guess lucky, but I've spoken to a lot of folks that find it just too scary to try to go into a transitional position.
Yeah.
Thinking that either, wow, I might just get stuck again, just like I was in my prior career, or there's no guarantees that this is going to lead me down to where I want to go, so they kind of get stuck in this middle place.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually have the motivation and the foresight to go, okay, I'm going to go ahead and try this entry-level position, and hopefully that'll take me to where I want to go, and you actually took a step and did it.
Right.
So part of it might be luck, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I mean, a lot of that was just you're doing too, right?
Right.
Putting yourself in position to be lucky.
Yeah.
Maybe in a way.
Yeah, definitely positioning myself, I suppose, for the opportunity. Just being open to what could come my way.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's important to sort of set, milestones, you know, like 2 months, 3 months into a new position and sort of step back and assess where you are now and if you're going the right direction and making that decision if you should stay or if you should move on to the next thing, you know, just, definitely keep looking back at your original goals and figuring out if you're really getting there.
Well, how precarious was that time period for you then?
Well, that, you know, back that period, I was still in my early mid-20s.
Yeah.
So I was still very, I guess, a big risk taker back then. So I wasn't thinking so hard.
Well, let's see. A lot of people, you know, want to do something different. And it seemed like you were able to find that based off of your experience in your old accounting career.
Yeah.
Did that hit you over the head and you go, oh, wow, that'd be kind of cool if I were to be able to work with nonprofits? Or was that something that you always had with you before even going to the college, maybe?
No, I think it was always something in me, thinking back to high school and all the service clubs and the after school programs that I did and volunteering. You know, that was really my first introduction into the nonprofit world. So I knew ultimately I wanted to get in there again somehow. And, I just never thought I could actually make enough money to have the sort of lifestyle that I have now. So. It was definitely something I was always interested in. And the same thing with the branding marketing thing. I've always been into pop culture and reading those sort of books and magazines about advertising, like Adbusters, which actually is very anti-advertising, but I still loved it. And, there was another early book that I really liked was No Logo, which again is another anti-branding marketing book. But I was always just on the side interested in these things. And so it was always trying to figure out how I could get paid to read these things and do these things and work with these sort of organizations.
So what do you think was the main reason why you didn't pursue that as a college student?
Because I didn't know it was out there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like, you know, you go through college and it's like there's this expectation that you will know what you want after 4 years or whatever. And you don't really know until you're in the real world and you're actually experiencing these things and seeing these people and, you know, it took me a while. Definitely took me a while to get there.
What do you think were the main factors that made it seem feasible to you? Like, what happened between you entering college to you leaving your accounting profession that made you say, hey, you know what, I could do this?
Yeah, you know, I think it was just the freedom of just being able to do whatever you wanted or just to think. I mean, because in college, you've got your curriculum, you know, you've got your syllabus and the books you have to read and the papers you have to write. And so it was always like just trying to get to the next quarter, mm-hmm. you know, trying to get to finish the finals and go to the next one. And when I didn't have those constraints anymore, it really did feel like I could think differently,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not have to subscribe to somebody's vision of what I should be doing. And so that's when I was able to focus and try and meld the things that really matter to me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe on a more practical level.
Yeah.
So you were able to, right after leaving your accounting work, you were able to find a job not specifically related to what you wanted to do, but right. that you thought might lead you to where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
What were there any concerns about whether or not that particular job would carry you financially, would be able to support you financially, or was it one of those jobs where it's like, oh, you know what, this is decent level pay. I'm not too scared about my finances.
Yeah, you know, going back to the fact that I was still in my early mid-20s, I wasn't thinking long-term. So I figured that if this wasn't going to work, I'd still have time to find the career that would work, that would matter. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just, I really was just looking for something that I really cared about too, ultimately, and that I was like actually passionate about. That really mattered the most.
So how would you describe the feeling or your appreciation for life now as opposed to when you were in something you weren't passionate about?
Right.
Is it that drastic a difference?
Yeah, I think so. And the great thing too is another key thing is to always be surrounded by people who are your fans, you know, and who are supportive and who are always thinking about new projects and that sort of thing too. So it doesn't feel like you're stuck, you know. So I definitely have found a network of friends who are all always thinking of these great new projects to work on. And that inspires me and keeps me thinking forward about other projects that I want to do. So I don't feel as stuck as when I was in public accounting, basically. It's definitely grown. I've expanded the web of possibilities, I suppose.
Yeah. So you feel like, and I probably know the answer to this,
yeah.
but it's not as if you've gotten somewhere yet. As much as you now have maybe more freedom to not feel like you're stuck wherever it is you are.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like I'm still on a launch pad, basically. And you know, it's just the way, you know, talking with friends and what you read in the news. And you know, people go through career changes almost every 4 years, every 5 years. It's a cycle. And boomers aren't retiring, so they're still looking for jobs. So there never seems to be, like, the end of the road. It's you're constantly just picking your path and trying new things. So right now I'm very happy with where I am, and even though I'm happy, I'm still looking at the possibilities of other new projects and stuff that'll keep me going forward. So it's just keeping yourself open and taking risks, really.
Well, speaking of where you are now, is there do you want to describe a little bit about what you do now that might be able to help other folks that be listening? In terms of you do PR work and marketing work. Is there something a company or yourself
yeah,
maybe you
right.
want to plug?
Yeah, well, definitely. If you're a nonprofit or foundation interested in doing some marketing or branding work, check my firm out. It's IE Communications, which is IECOMM.org is the website. And even if you're not a nonprofit or foundation, if you just want to sort of brainstorm ideas, I love hearing people's like challenges and trying to think of ways to solve them, you know, definitely reach out to me as well. If you go to the website, you can just send an email to the generic email address there and it'll get to me.
Yeah. And I don't know. Can I say that you've helped me out?
Sure. Yeah. I've helped JV a little bit. He's got a lot of resources though, and he knows what he's doing, but yeah.
Marsha's been a great advisor for the marketing committee for my book, and, she does great work. So if anybody out there is interested in getting some assistance, especially if you have a worthy cause, I highly recommend you contact her or her company. So yeah, thanks Marsha for talking to us. Hopefully people maybe get inspired to make their own creative career changes.
Thanks, Jamie.